Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live. A Hard Knicks Live. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Live.
What up, Knicks fans, and welcome to It's a Hard Knicks Life. I'm Barry Dworkin, and as some of you might have already noticed, this episode's going to be a little different. Because for the first time in show history, we will be without our fearless leader, without our captain, Craig. But just as the Knicks continue to chug along without their stars, Julius Randle and OG Anunoby, we too will continue to provide you with winning content and entertainment. So with that, I say good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hooper.
Good day to you as well, Barry.
There you go. Let's get into this ad and get this over with. If you like to wager in football, then you know the big game is right around the corner, and we'll be in Vegas this year as the Chiefs and Niners go head-to-head. If you want to get in on the action, Bet Online is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Of course, you can also bet on the NBA and everything else you'd imagine, even golf. Oh, I love that sound. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Your New York Knicks, ladies and gentlemen, are currently 31-17. The first time reaching 30 wins in the month of January since 1997. Have won 8 in a row. Have gone 14-2 for the month of January. The first time the Knicks have won 14 games in any month since 1994. A year they went to the finals, I might add. Have had 10 of those 14 wins by a margin of 15 points or more. Have sole possession of third place in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, yeah!
Now, we're recording this Wednesday night. They are one game ahead of both Cleveland and Philadelphia and 1.5 games back of Milwaukee. Cleveland and Milwaukee both have games tonight. Blandy, 14 wins in 30 days, and they haven't ripped 14 games in a month since March of 94. Now, we're both 45 years old, which means that back in 1994, when they did this, we were in 10th grade.
Yeah.
The last time they had a team capable of a stretch like this. Now, that was Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, John Starks, and Greg Anthony and company. That's a team I remember most from my youth. It's this team bringing back memories for you of that 94 team that made a run at the title.
Well, I think that this is easily the best team that we've had since that era. I know everybody likes to talk about the 54 win team from, you know, whatever it was, 10 years ago, whatever, the Carmelo and Tyson Chandler.
Right.
This is the best team we've had. I was thinking about it the other day, and I go into every game thinking that we have the chance to win. And it's been a while since I feel like I could say that. Like, I don't think, especially with the wins over the Sixers and the win and the Nuggets, I don't necessarily fear anyone. I just don't.
Yeah, that team you mentioned, although it was a great run, you know, it surprised a lot of people. It was a little empty where, yeah, this team seems pretty full. Now, we talk about their bench lacking, right? But again, this is not a healthy team right now.
No.
You know, besides Jules and OG, the last two games, we've been without Mitchell Robinson now for how long? And they're still getting it done. Now, a little tease real quick before I forget, a little bit later in the show, we've got, and it's a shame that Craig's not here for this, Coach Tom Thibodeau will be joining us. Now, we only have him for like a minute or two, so it's going to be super quick, but the fact that we were able to get him, we're not going to pass that up. So I just wanted to
Is it possible that he said yes because Craig's not here?
You know, I didn't think about that, but now
maybe,
you know,
that's why
Craig's
they were willing
talked
to
that
make
disparagingly
available.
About him before. Craig's
maybe,
a Tibbs guy.
Maybe Tibbs is not a cursing guy. Actually, wait, no, that's not true. I've seen him curse plenty of times in the games.
True.
Never mind.
Now, like we said, this team is deep. For, you know, at least a lot of players are kind
so
of having
deep.
career seasons. None other than, more so than Dante DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo.
Can you believe that we got him for the mid-level exception?
No.
What are we paying him? $46 million, $44 million, something like that?
It's ridiculous. The deal that he's on, I mean, the deal that you run down the list, the deal that he's on, the deal
Brunson.
That Brunson, I mean, everybody's outplaying their contract like crazy. The way that he's been just tearing it up from the 3-point line, just everything is going in. You know, we haven't had a 3-point shooter like Dante in a long time. I mean, we kind of had Evan Fournier, which is pretty funny because we still technically have him now, but we know he's not going to see the court because of his lacking of other attributes, and we'll just kind of leave it at that. But we've been told in the past, like on losing teams, that we've had a 3-point specialist, but they lied to us. And I think some of us lied to ourselves when they said, oh, that's Wayne Ellington, you know, or THJ or Reggie Bullock or Doug
Steve
McDermott.
Novak.
Steve Novak. I mean, he was great for his time, but none of them ever did what Dante's been doing night in and night out. Since December 30th, he's been averaging 3.7 makes a game. Makes on 41.7%. For the season, he's 42.6%. But, I mean, the fact that he's shooting that well and that efficient on that volume is like almost Steph Curry numbers insane. Not quite. But if you gave him per 36 numbers, it is quite Steph Curry insane.
Well, maybe Steph rubbed off on him a little bit last year. Not rubbed out on him, but rubbed off on him. Because when you watch him, he is just, he's kind of chucking them up from just wherever. Like he feels like when he feels it, he just throws it up from wherever.
Right.
He is. Doesn't matter how far behind the line he actually
maybe
is.
That stint in Golden State, something's in the water there that you get a little bit of that Splash Brother in your DNA, perhaps. And Josh Hart. He's looking more like the Josh Hart that the Knicks signed last season. He got his first triple-double against Utah. It was a beautiful, neat
10-10-10.
That looks beautiful in the box score. But, yeah, he's been super impactful as of late. And, you know, I think some of us started to wonder, you know, did he fall off a little bit? But he's stepped up big time.
No, and his rebounding has really come in handy with Randall out the last couple of games.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, I was impressed, and we'll get to Precious's scoring in a second. I was impressed with Precious's rebounding last week and the last bunch of games. But then the last two games, he didn't rebound much, but he didn't have
to. No, but the scoring was there.
But the scoring was there. He's got two career highs this season of 18 points, which he did not do that in Toronto, and he's done that here. So you want to credit that to Thibodeau. You want to credit that, you know, with them giving him the reins. You want to credit it with him getting a little bit more responsibility. With when Hartenstein was out, now that Randall's out, he's stepped up in a big way. It's super impressive. And the vibes on this team, man. I mean, they're fun to watch from the defensive side, and they're fun to watch just because of the vibes that they have for each other. I mean, that point in the first quarter against Utah when Sexton was talking smack to Brunson, and he was just like an annoying gnat to Brunson. It was almost as if his brothers stepped up and took care of business, you know. And then he went on to have an awesome third quarter like he did the game before, him and Dante. And yeah, they've just been going off when they've needed to go off.
Yeah, because he started off slow. He didn't really have that many points early on. What did he finish with, 20, 26, somewhere around
27,
there?
27, I think.
Okay. So the two of them put together like almost 60 between the two of them.
Yeah, yeah, and then over 70 if you add Josh Hart in there, the Nova boys.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Nova boys, there's always chatter, especially with the trade deadline coming up next Thursday, February 8th at 3 p.m. And Mikal Bridges is one of the newer names that has been rising to the top, which I think would be an awesome fit because he's an awesome all-around player. And a new name that's been coming up is Jimmy Butler.
Wait, what?
You haven't seen any of this chatter?
I haven't seen that at all.
So some people are speculating. So, okay. So some people are speculating that because the Heat now have lost seven games
right?
in a row.
Yeah.
Yep. They're 22 and 25. Now, I take that as, okay, this is the Miami Heat. They've kind of learned that they can just kind of, you know, sleep through the regular season and then turn it on in the postseason because they've done that. But yet there's odds on Jimmy Butler's trade destination. So there's this website called Bovada, which is an online gambling site, and they've got the Knicks currently with the best odds as a trade destination for Jimmy Butler at plus 210.
Is Sixers, that right?
That's right. The Sixers are at plus 225 and Brooklyn at plus 475.
What?
Yes, sir.
Why in the world would the Heat trade Jimmy Butler
well,
to the Knicks?
Well, the only reason, now again, I said it, that the Heat, you know, can turn it on in the playoffs. But with this losing streak, and again, it's they only have 7 days left to the trade deadline to decide to do this. But there are some people that speculate maybe the Heat are talking about blowing it up. You know, Butler's due to make a lot of money. If this team is going south, they may take this opportunity to kind of turn things around. And I mean, who wouldn't want Jimmy Butler on a team that's contending for the playoffs?
I did not hear that or read that or see that anywhere.
Oh, I wish I would have tipped you off to that.
No, I got nothing.
Time, I was going to bring this shit up because I get the sense of Knicks fans. I've been reading a lot of stuff that it's kind of mixed on the situation. Some people feel like we don't need him. Some people feel like he's 34 and he's on the decline. But what he did in the postseason last year, forget about it. And you can't go off his regular season numbers either. You know, right now he's averaging, what is he averaging right now? 21-5-4. But you're not acquiring regular season Jimmy. You're acquiring him because
you want playoff Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Last year he averaged 23-6-5 during the regular season. And then ramped it up to 27-6.5-6. The year before that, he averaged 21-6.5 during the regular season, and then ramped it up to 27.5, 7.5, and 4.5 in the playoffs. The issue is his salary. Now, this year he's making $45 million.
That's a lot of money.
Next year he's due to make $49 million. And then the year after that, he's on a player option to make $52.5 million a year.
That's just crazy. At 37.
Crazy money. And he'll be 37 years old at that point.
How would we even match that salary-wise? I mean, Fournier is what, $18
million? I'm glad you asked. Because I was on NBA Trade Machine trying to figure it out.
Okay.
So Fournier is the obvious one. Grimes, just for reasons, you got to give them some type of prospect that may develop into something. And the only way I can see this deal happening, the third piece that you would need to do, and it would make the money work,
Mitchell?
Is Mitchell Robinson. Yeah. Now, the reason why I think and why I would do it is because you're going to have to come up with a decision between Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein anyway. You're not going to be able to pay these two guys that money. You can't have two centers making that type of money. And if it means us keeping Hartenstein and losing Robinson, but then acquiring Jimmy Butler, even for the money that he's going to be making, I mean, everybody's salary is going to be going crazy. That's just the time we're living in. And to me, this is a win now team. They're already, in my eyes, a contender. Butler puts them way up in contention. Now, you're making a face like that's, you think that's too much? Either too much to give or too much to pay Jimmy.
I just think he's too old.
I feel like you got to strike while the iron's hot. I feel like, I mean, this team has never been hotter than they are right now. I feel like this, the landscape of this league changes so quickly, right?
And so who goes to the bench? Dante?
Dante would have to go to the bench. And I feel like you're going to have, aside from Brunson, you're going to have a pretty big, tall lineup. Because then you've got Julius, OG, and Butler, and then your center. So it's a pretty tall fucking group.
Now, the question is, though.
And by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off. In my head, I did not want to fuck with this starting lineup at all. But if you're talking about adding Jimmy Butler for Dante, forget about it. And then that's going to bolster your bench because now you got Dante, who's been performing like crazy, coming off your bench.
So then is he running the point off the bench or is it still Miles McBride?
I would still run Miles McBride. How can you not? I mean, that dude.
I know, but is that someone we trust come playoff time?
Miles?
Yeah.
He's shown that he can. I mean, why doubt him? I mean, when he's shooting from three and he's starting to get up volume, he's getting up the minutes, his defense has not wavered at all. I mean, I don't remember this guy having a bad game, Miles McBride. You know, as much as we discount him as, is he an NBA player? Does he deserve to be in the rotation? He's pulling his weight and then some, you don't think?
I do not like his shot. And I don't, when I say that, I mean, I don't like the look of his
really?
Shot. It kind of looks like he's always chucking the ball
I know what
over
you're saying.
His head. He's got
almost like he's doing like a corner, like a soccer corner.
Yeah. Like, and I just don't know if we can trust him come playoff time when the defense gets tougher and we're playing, you know.
And you think his efficiency is going to start to tail off? Is that what you're saying? He's
just
hot right now?
I don't think he's that kind of a three-point shooter.
Mm. Oh, hold on. We got him? I'm being told that we have him on the Zoom. All right. Tom Thibodeau is here. This is awesome. All right. Let me just let him in here. All right. Here we go. Hey, Tom. Thank you so much for doing this, man. Or coach, I should say. I know you don't have a lot of time, so we'll be really quick to get you in and out. First off,
I want to ask
Randall.
You a bunch of questions.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Don't fuck this guy's time.
Oh, sorry.
First off, with Randall out of the lineup for a few weeks here, do you miss not having Obi Toppin here to fill some of those minutes?
I guess. Okay. Well, let me ask you about Fournier. We were talking about Fournier before you came on. I heard that he's gotten in some good practice sessions. Is there a chance that we see him in any kind of situation?
All right. Hypothetical but serious question, coach. You guys are up by 30, 3 minutes to go. The other team clears out its bench onto the court. Do you sit your starters at that point?
All right. On another note, not about your team, but about the Nets, Ben Simmons was back the other night for the first time after missing 38 games. Contusion in his knee, going to miss another game. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm getting the high side. All right, Coach Tibbs, thanks. I know that's all the time you had. Thank you for being here. Let's get into some voicemails, Blandy. What Ooh. Do you say?
Let's do this. We got three here. No newbies this time. All regulars here. Okay. All right. So as usual, why don't we start off with Ralph? I mean, that's just the way to go.
Eight. Straight win for the Knicks. Julius goes down. OG goes down. We just keep on winning. And man, DiVincenzo's been something else. Achua's been something else. Been a heck of a run. What you got to say, JD?
Heck of a run.
Next win.
I love the tandem Ralph and Janie calls now. I love that she's in on all the calls. Please keep that up. You guys are gold together.
That was relatively short for Ralph. You know, two games and like 36 seconds. That's it. We didn't cut anything down there. So we didn't get the usual play-by-play.
Yeah.
Did not get the usual play-by-play. All right, next one.
Hey, fellas, it's DB. I'm actually calling as I'm watching this Charlotte game on Monday. Knicks are dominating. Rest in peace, Dr. Dickey. I want to pay my respects first and foremost. I miss Dr. Dickey. I also missed Frank Ntilikina's groin, who used to call in. But he was back. And I got to see Frank's groin in the game. And that groin did a flagrant foul on Jalen Brunson while he was shooting a three. So thank you to his groin. Clyde segment, keep it going. I love a good Clyde segment. I was listening to Clyde and Breen. They're fucking amazing still. Clyde is better than ever. Okay, he's saying crazy shit, but he's better than ever. During that Charlotte game, they showed a segment where these two guys were wearing Clyde shirts.
Oh, I saw
that. They were posing and taking pictures with him. And Breen said, oh, those guys had Clyde shirts. And Clyde said, yeah, I had dinner with them the night before. He just had dinner with these random guys that he met in Charlotte. And it reminded me of Ralph's story. And Breen asked if Clyde paid, and he did not pay, which is pretty hilarious. And anyway, more of that, man.
Yeah, it wasn't even a question. Like, I didn't pay.
Yeah, that was so. So he's the one who's loaded, and he had these two random dudes buy him dinner.
I didn't even put the two and two together that was so much like a Ralph story.
Yes,
about how Ralph drove him.
It's like, you know, you listen to Ralph tell it, and you're like, it just like you believe him, but it just sounds so crazy.
And that happened in 2024.
he's still
the two randos.
Know, yeah. Good for him, I guess.
So this is probably as good a spot as any. We'll get to the last voicemail in a minute, right? We have one more voicemail after this.
Yes,
but let's hop into this Clyde segment right now. You know, people have spoken and they want it. So, you know, one of the things that has popped up with Clyde and will continue to pop up is just the absolute butchering of people's names.
Yeah, and the cuckoo on.
Yeah, well, that you could kind of figure out what it is. But we got that one you might not have guessed what it was. And we've got another one that is not even close to what it was. So bad that Mike Breen on the broadcast had to correct him on what it was, because otherwise nobody would have any clue who the hell he was talking about. I mean, he took a 4-syllable last name and brought it to two.
Now, listen, I will say we're talking about a guy who's only been in the league. This is only his second year. And he's got a nice...
I'm pretty sure they spell out the name on the stat sheet.
Yes.
And on their
but he's got a big 4-syllable Italian last name. It's a mouthful. We already know he has an issue with DiVincenzo, right? So that's a 4-syllable name right there.
Now, do we want to say what the proper spell, what the proper saying of the name is, or no? Because Breen says it in the same clip.
Yeah, let's just play it.
Play it.
Okay, so this was from the game against the Jazz.
Cello is, I've seen anybody like Brunson in Italy. He's in the NBA now. So Brunson at the line.
Fontecchio.
Fontecchio.
Let just play the very beginning so I can hear Clyde trying to say it.
Okay.
Cello is, I've seen.
How do you go from Fontecchio to cello?
Cello. Yes. Like cello. The instrument. So he wasn't anywhere near. He added in letters that did not exist in the man's name. There's no H. There's no L's.
Now, there is a double C, right?
There is, but that's all at the end.
That's all
at the end.
Now, Clyde had a chance to redeem himself later in the broadcast. Let's get to take two of Clyde trying to pronounce Fontecchio.
Fontecchio answers right back. Fontecchio is distinguishing himself.
What was that? Fontecchio?
Yeah, yeah. He dissed the R and he added a check instead of the T. So no Fontecchio, but Fontecchio. Nice try, Clyde. Good effort on the second try.
It's not the easiest name in the world. But, I mean, how do you get cello from that?
And I guess, you know, look, we've said it before. Clyde's a legend. He's been doing this a long time. Nobody's going to tell Clyde how to do his job. But, you know, if it was a second year guy, or just a professional in general, they would look at the roster, go down the list, and make sure that they knew
ahead of time
how to pronounce each name.
I don't think Walter's doing that. Any of that anymore.
No, and he's not there for that either. So
no.
We'll give him
He's not. I did like that it was so bad that Breen corrected him.
Yeah, because a lot of times Breen will
just let it go.
He doesn't want to make him look bad. He's a great partner. Right. But, you know, even Breen had to have a laugh about it, and Clyde did as well. I think they're both in on the joke by now. All right, where were we in our voicemails?
Okay, last one here. This is Murder Jim. Hmm.
Yo, it's Murder Jim. Man, what a fucking another beautiful win. I'm looking at this guy, right? Precious Achiuwa. And there's something I've been noticing. He's got this fucking look in his eye. And I'm like, what is that look? And you know what I think that look is? I think that look is a motherfucker who grew up with the name Precious.
And these kids fucking, because you know people, kids going to pick on him when he's got, when he's called Precious. And then all of a sudden he gets like this big growth spurt. And obviously growth thing is he's like a fucking giant. So now all of a sudden he can crush and fucking destroy the people who fucking picked on him. He can beat their fucking asses. But he can't go around beating everybody's asses. So you got to learn how to have an inner calm. And that's what I see in his eyes. He's been learned. He's got this inner rage inside, but he's calming it out because, you know, he's got, he's learned over his life to keep it cool. And that's his demeanor now. He keeps it cool, but he could fucking crush you if he wants.
He's got an inner calm and an inner rage.
Anyway, that's my theory. And these fucking Knicks. Then how about this Knicks bench, though? Right? I mean, you'd have to be a real idiot to just think that they weren't good. I don't know what happened, man. I don't know what happened to this bench, but holy fuck, dude. I was pretty wrong about them. And it's a lot of fun, man. What a fun team to watch. All right, later, dude. You guys are the best.
Born in Nigeria, Precious was. I don't know when he came over. I know he went to college here. I don't know how old
he was. Do you know what his brothers' names are? He has three brothers. Do you know what the names are?
Let me think. I have no idea.
Okay.
Precious, I'm going to go with Sacred.
It's a good guess, but no. Mm. But you're on the right track.
Oh, Treasure.
No.
Blessing.
We've got a Promise.
Okay. Is the other one a P word also?
No.
Okay.
We've got Precious. We've got Promise. And then we've got God's Gift, G-O-D apostrophe S-G-I-F-T. So God's Gift. And then
an apostrophe in your first name.
God's will.
God's gift and God's will.
God's
Are they
gift,
twins?
God's will.
Are they twins?
Promise? I don't believe so. Precious and then two sisters, Grace and Peace.
See, you don't get this information on other Knicks podcasts. I'm telling you.
No,
they do not dive this deep. They may dive deep into the stats, but they are not diving deep into Precious's siblings.
No.
I guarantee you that. I did love, by the way, how we did see that side of Precious. If you want to call it in a rage, I don't know what you want to call it, but he had an end one, and he let out a primal scream, which we had not seen out of Precious before, which was awesome to see. And I want to see more of that. And yeah, let him continue doing what he's doing. And you all hear that music. It's time for the news with Blanderson Hooper.
All right. Thank you very much, Barry. This will be interesting that I'll get to do the news without having to worry about Craig harassing me and pretending to sleep and telling me how horrible everything is. Although, who knows? Maybe you will, in fact, do that.
You know what it is, though? I feel like it's not as fun to pick on you if I'm the only one doing it. I just feel mean. But so, like when you're doing it with somebody else, it's
so piling
more
on with somebody else is okay.
It's more fraternal, I feel like. When you're doing it that way, okay. If it's just me, I feel just like a bully.
Okay.
So, but we'll see.
I can see that. Starting off with the news that the an NBA has announced that the NBA draft will now be two separate days instead of just one day.
A lot of opinions on this, by the way, out there.
First day for the first round, second day will be the second round. I guess they are attempting to try and be like the NFL. They will never be like the NFL. The NBA draft is not
the
NFL
has
draft.
Like 400 something picks.
They've got seven rounds. So
yeah, the NBA's got two rounds.
I mean, I don't understand. Who's really tuning in for the second round of the NBA draft on a second night? I know I'm not.
And it's drawn out long enough anyway. I'm fine with it because of that fact that it's drawn out. That I hope they don't draw it out longer. I hope they don't make the first round, you know, a longer segment than it normally is.
I think it's sticking at 5 minutes in between each pick.
Good. Which it should, because that's also part of, like, you know, the draft process. Somebody gets taken and you were planning on taking them, you only have X amount of minutes. So yeah, right. They should not alter that. But I'm fine with the second round being the next day. Who gives a fuck?
So we got that. Got a couple of injuries I mentioned before. Ben Simmons missed 38 games for the Nets, comes back, hurts his knee, and then let's see, did he play tonight? No, he did not play tonight. No, definitive. So he's back out. It was an impingement in his back that kept him out all that time. What kept him out tonight was a knee contusion. So it's always something with that guy. They need him to come back and play a decent amount of games and play well, just so that way they can try and unload him. Because, I mean, at this point, they're paying him to sit on the bench.
Now, do you think it's forget about what kept him off the court before, but even now, do you think it's as much mental as it is physical?
I'm sure that it is.
You think it's equally both? Because, I mean, he does seem like a fragile dude with the back issues and now the knee. And
I think it's both. I think he's mentally weak. That's what I think.
Okay.
I mean, the guy never plays. He never gets on the court. There's always something bothering him. Could he really be that physically fragile all of a sudden? Is it possible?
Yeah, and you got to feel bad. Like, your team needs you. You know, you've got a decent team.
When he plays,
you know,
he plays well.
He's kind of like, you know, paddling in water there to stay afloat. And you're, you know, a prior all-star. Come on. Have some self-something.
Yeah, some self-something. That's definitely what you want. I don't know if you saw about, there's been a lot of talk the last couple of days about Joel Embiid. I know he did not play in the game against the Nuggets. A lot of people were giving him a hard time for that. He came back last night in Golden State after spending two nights on the bench. And then with about 4 minutes left in the game, Jonathan Kuminga fell on his knee. So he was having an MRI today. We haven't heard any results.
Did you see in the same game, Draymond Green going after, like, supposedly going after a steal when Joel Embiid was bringing up the ball and like just took him out?
No, I did not see that.
So Embiid's bringing up the ball. He crosses half court. Draymond Green is covering him, but he's standing off him a few feet. Joel loses the ball a little bit and Green dives for it. But by that point, the ball was already passed and it just looks like Green goes right after his knees.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. You know, especially with, you know, Green just coming back and Green having the other incident two games
right.
ago.
And him saying that he was going to try and cut out all the nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't look good. It was not a good look for Draymond.
Well, speaking of Embiid, he can only afford to miss six more games this season before he becomes ineligible for, you know, that the postseason awards. And if he misses seven more games, then he will not be able to defend his NBA MVP title. I know there's a couple of people that are in boats like that too. Tyrese Halliburton's another one that they've been talking about. So there's a couple of guys that already are getting very, very close.
You know, and I feel like there's like so much flip-flopping on this issue also from guys in the media. I feel like the same. I wish I had like a clear example for you, but I feel like we were getting so much talk about how they needed to institute this because guys were sitting out too much,
right.
And you got to penalize them or hold them accountable in a certain way. And now people are saying, well, that's not fair. You know, they want to be out there. And in this case, in injuries, let it go back to being subjective, you know, with the voters.
The worst part of it here, remember, is that these game played or games played is also determines like all NBA and stuff like that. And the reason why that's a big deal is because that determines whether or not a guy can get a supermax contract.
Right, all these clauses in their contracts. And sometimes, yeah, you're talking million-dollar shifts based on what may come
tens
down
of millions of dollars.
But look, this was agreed upon. This is a rule now in the NBA, and I'm for it, man. Come on, I think it's fair.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
you got
to
take
having a season where you just miss a lot of games because you get injured. There's not much you can do about it. It is unfortunate, though, that it is that some of these guys might end up losing out on quite a bit of money as a result.
Right.
So you got that. Anthony Edwards has been fined $40,000 for publicly criticizing the officiating in his post-game comments after the Wolves played the Thunder.
You have the clip of that?
Two nights ago. I don't have it.
Oh, that was pretty good because he basically said he before he said anything, the first thing he said was that he'll pay the fine.
Yeah. I know I'm going to get the fine. I'll pay the fine. Yeah, 40 grand, which, I mean, for him is nothing. It's pocket change. He probably wipes his ass with that, but still. Rajon Rondo, former All-Star Rajon Rondo, was arrested on gun and drug charges in Indiana over the weekend.
Oh.
got pulled over in his Tesla.
You always look like kind of a dick.
Didn't have a license plate, I think. An officer conducted a search of his car after smelling marijuana. They found a personal use amount of marijuana, other drug paraphernalia, and a gun. And the funny thing is, I'm writing up the news, and it says former NBA. And I was like, what are they talking about? Former, he plays. And I'm Googling it. I'm like, isn't he on the fucking Raptors? And then I realized I was confusing him with Dennis Schroeder.
Why?
I you know, they're kind of tallish, thinnish, kind of, you know, same kind of game where they're, you know, not much of a scorer. More.
Yeah, I mean, same body type, but yeah, I wouldn't say. Well,
I was just confusing the two of them, but yeah. So he was arrested for that. And I'm going to end on something that I know you're going to appreciate. Craig definitely wouldn't have appreciated it if he was here, but the NBA has released the list of the top selling jerseys so far this year. And I know you like this kind of stuff. So I've got the top 15 here. I don't know if you want to just try the top 5, top 10, you just want to throw names out there and see if you get any of them or what.
My hunch would be, I have no idea the order. I'll guess the order though. My top 3 in my head, I would say, is LeBron, Doncic, and Giannis. I would say LeBron number 1 because I think he's probably always number 1. Giannis 2, Doncic 3.
No, no, and no.
Okay.
Okay, so of those 3 that you said, only one of them is in the top 3.
Oh, LeBron?
And that is LeBron who falls in at number 3. Yeah. LeBron is at number 3.
Number 1 selling jersey
so far this year.
I mean, Tatum, but he's not popular enough, I don't think, to be number 1.
He's number 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Who would be number 1? Oh, Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
Right.
Steph Curry is number 1.
How could I forget Steph? Fuck.
I think of all the people on this list, I was really only surprised by two names.
Wembanyama.
Number 4, Victor Wembanyama.
Right. I've seen a kid wearing a Wembanyama jersey.
Oh, really? Here on Long Island?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like before the season fucking started, I saw
okay.
it.
Okay. I mean, listen, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who else would be a surprise? Any other like rookies or second year players?
No.
No. All right. So yeah, you could yeah,
no, Chet Holmgren or anything
5.
Like that.
Right.
Giannis is number 5.
Okay.
Yeah, you got Luka at number 6, Devin Booker at 7, Kevin Durant at 8, Tyrese Maxey at 9. That surprised me.
That would surprise me as well.
Yeah. Dame Lillard at 10, Ja at
That's
11.
Cool jersey. That would be a cool jersey to have, although not a Bucks one. I would want a Blazers Lillard.
Really?
Jersey.
I'd prefer like the purple and the green to the and white to a Blazers purple. Jersey. Yeah.
Purple?
Yeah, don't they have
which
like just there,
oh,
are there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's parts of parts you know, of just purple. Like purple
yeah,
accents
line.
There.
Yeah,
you got Embiid at 12, LaMelo at 13, Jokic at 14.
Right, this is the part where Craig would say, "Stop! You don't have to read the whole list."
And then the last one at 15, which I was surprised by, is De'Aaron Fox.
Mm. Okay,
De'Aaron Fox,
and no Brunson.
No,
in that
no
really.
No Jalen Brunson.
Fuck?
Let's see if they have anything about
New York City. Is one of the most populated places. Come on.
Well, they also have here top selling NBA team merchandise. Want to guess where the Knicks are on that? Because they are on that list.
3.
They're number 8.
Oof.
Number 8.
Man, just wait. Wait till they make at least the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
Listen, I mean, it's not really that much of a surprise when you look at the voting numbers for the All-Star game, correct? I mean, we didn't show up for that either, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's different, though. I think people will go out and buy a jersey before they'll vote.
I did want to bring up one thing, other thing I didn't put in the news, but you mentioned the thing with Draymond Green. Did you see what happened with Dylan Brooks in the game against the Lakers the other night?
Yes, with LeBron?
No, with...
I saw a Dylan Brooks LeBron incident.
I know LeBron, they asked him about him after the game. He's like, next question. But that I think came after an injury.
He was going so the one with LeBron Vanderbilt. Before you get to yours, the one with LeBron, he was just hard foul, at which he could have been going for the ball and he hit LeBron in the head. I didn't think that was egregious.
This was something between him and Vanderbilt. What's Vanderbilt's first name? Jared Vanderbilt. Yeah, there was like a push in the back on a dunk. There were some technicals. Vanderbilt pushed back at him, and then at one point, like, smacked at one of Brooks's braids in the back of his head. And then he got a second technical, and he got ejected. Vanderbilt did.
Mm. And after the game, he wants to be a bad boy.
And after the game, Brooks said the Vanderbilt took it a little too far, which is,
they should have like the all NBA bad boy team, and like starting five would be Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green. Who are the other bad boys of the NBA that always act up, get into trouble? Maybe Bobby Portis is.
Are we talking about on the court or off the court?
On the court, I would say. On the court.
Grayson Allen?
Yes, that's a good one.
We all know he's a dick.
Bam Adebayo has been getting a bad rap lately, but I wouldn't put him on that list.
Well, he's a dirty player.
Yeah.
Come on. He's definitely a dirty player. But that's the way the basketball bounces.
Well done, Landerson. And it looks like you got through it pretty unscathed.
Well, and I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
Yes.
All right. And that's going to do it for the show, everybody. And that's going to do it. There we go. A little slow on that. Not so smooth. But that's what happens when you edit live in show. Who needs post-production when you could do it live?
Yeah, without Craig, this is a work in progress.
That's right.
Craig is the director. He is the editor.
He's the producer.
Yeah, he handles it all. So
wears many hats underneath that Knicks hat of his. That beard.
Yeah.
By the way, the Cleveland Cavaliers did win.
Oh, thank fucking God.
Thank fucking God. That only puts them a half game back instead of a game back. What do you mean, thank fucking God?
But that was part of my parlay tonight. So
you keep
that shit
to yourself. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Nobody wants
to
hear you.
That's bad.
Rooting
that's bad.
For Cleveland, who's right up our ass.
God damn.
They've got the tip in our ass, Blanderson.
Just the tip.
Just the tip right
just
now.
The tip.
Half game back. And we got Dick our South. Eyes. What?
Dick South.
Oh, there she is, Doris.
That's right.
They got
out.
Their dicks out.
Yeah.
And we almost have our dicks out in the back of the Milwaukee Bucks, don't we? Game and a half back. Let's see if the Knicks can keep their streak going. Why don't you rattle off the schedule, Blandy?
All right. For the rest of this week, we've got the Pacers come in for Thursday night. And then we've got the Lakers in on Saturday night. That's an ABC vehicle. That'll be prime time.
Nice.
So that should
I want to give a big thank you to Tom Thibodeau, even though it was only a couple of minutes. We appreciate having him here. Not a man of many words tonight, but we thank him. And that's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you again. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Those reviews have been lacking, I've been told.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And until next time.
Did you give the number?
Oh,
did you give the phone
number? I did not give the phone number. 516-33-MESH-1. What would I do without you? That's what we're here for. We hold each other up.
Yes, we do.
516-336-3741. We love getting those voicemails. And now, until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
This is the funnest night ever.
It's a Hard Knicks Live.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.